You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
What is up, people? We're back. Oh, yeah. Real Ass Podcast coming live from Stand Up New York Labs above Stand Up New York Comedy Club here in the wonderful, wonderful Upper West Side. New York City. Beautiful day. Been very humid lately, boys. Gets me in a bad mood. Today, I made a conscious effort and a conscious decision to not get upset when I was running late, to not let the humidity get to me. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. This is the new Luis J. Gomez. Real ass dude, as always.
Post-Montreal
Luis J. Gomez.
You know, most people would make an effort to not be late. You're just making an effort to not get mad that you're late.
Yeah. I'm not gonna beat myself up over it anymore, Zach.
You start slow. You can't just go for the gold. You gotta start slow.
Isn't that a better way to live life, though? Like, now I'm no longer gonna get aggravated and upset. I'm gonna be in a good mood no matter what, no matter how late I am, no matter how much I make you guys wait for me. I mean, just what is it? It's 12:15. We're starting 15 minutes late.
Puerto Rican 11:55.
The Gomites are out there right now. They're wondering what's going on. They're probably...
They should know, though.
Well,
when you say 12, it's...
At this point, if they don't know that we're going to be later than 12...
They're not a real fan.
That's their fault.
Yeah.
And you're right. Thank you, Scopo. Finally, Scopo makes a point on the show.
Thank you.
Turn Scopo down a little bit. He's a little bit hot, John.
I'm always
I will
a little
say,
bit hot.
You're a better engineer than the other engineers that I work with on my other shows. You really are, because the levels on this show usually sound pretty fucking phenomenal.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Legion of Skanks is a fucking nightmare. I mean, dude, I tried to listen to the episode the other day with Godfrey. I mean, he just started off 40% louder than everybody.
And that was before the mics were on.
But that's exactly the point. It's like, and then he just goes louder than everybody. So he's just blaring and blasted out the, oh, dude, awful.
Who does it, Omar?
It's a mix of a bunch of people. I don't even know whose job that is. I gotta get my hands on it in there. Maybe we should bring Legion of Skanks here. Forget Kumia.
I'm happy to have you. Come on over, baby.
Dude, finally,
look how happy Fatigate just
finally
got.
Fatigate could steal somebody from another fucking dog instead of him getting fucking ass raped by everybody in the industry. This poor guy, man. Fatigate, you need tougher business balls,
dude. I'm a survivor. I don't care. I'm playing the long game. Fuck them. Kumia's old. He'll be dead when I get famous.
Nice. See? I love
Kumia is as old as his views.
I love that Fatigate throw some fire over at the Kumia Network. Now, obviously, we're kidding. Legion of Skanks very happy, but we do have to fix those levels because I wasn't happy with that the other day. Anyway, welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. This is going to be an amazing show today. We're talking about Just for Laughs. I was just up there, obviously. But even more importantly than that, I didn't even see, that's fine. That's kind of old news, in my opinion. It's cool. Look, Just for Laughs, fucking new faces. Yeah, I'm the talk of the town. I killed it on the roast battle. You know, met with amazing agents and networks and casting directors. Everyone loves me. You know, got a great new manager. Right after this, going to one of the best agents in the entire world for a sit down meeting and have some coffee and possibly some lunch, hopefully, if they buy. I'm doing so good. But that's last week. That is last
what
week.
What is this week?
I just created a 37 second long video that is going viral.
I haven't seen it yet.
How have you not seen this video?
I don't like you.
I woke up today. I posted this video to Facebook.
This morning you did this?
No. While I was in Montreal, in the gift bags, they gave fleshlights. So, you know, obviously I'm not going to fuck the fleshlight, but I was like, what am I going to do with this fleshlight? So I decided to use it for a video that I made, and I'll show it to you in a second. But while I was up there, I just posted it to Facebook, got a couple hundred likes on Facebook, whatever. But I was like, all right, maybe I'll post it to YouTube and see what happens. So I did that, and then I wake up to 3,000 views on it this morning. It is linked to Bro Bible. It is linked to Barstool Sports. It is linked to Death and Taxes Magazine. These are just the ones that people are showing me right now. So I am becoming a viral celebrity. Thank you, John. This is why you are the best producer in the game. You know how to make me feel good when I need it, okay? These guys, I'm leaving them behind. The second an opportunity comes up where I can leave these pieces of garbage behind, I'm fucking out, okay? No support on their end. This is, I wish I could show it. Can you zoom in on my computer? Can we fucking make this work? Here's the thing, John. Now I got to take it away from you a little bit. We should be able to just pull this up. Okay, wait, don't zoom in on my fucking email address. Don't zoom in on my personal email address, but I do want to show this to Scopo, and I'd like to show it to the fans as well. Here, just hold on. Here, hold on, I got it. Here, I'll X out of everything else here. I don't want people to see my email address, all right? You can do that now, like that? It's always just been simply plugging a fucking thing in, John. Are you kidding me? It's been a wire the whole time. Are you kidding me? This is for the people to see this at home. So you can click a button now, and now they can see this.
Yes.
John, I've been asking. I'm not even lying. I swear to God.
For months.
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 Zach, thank you for getting my back now. For months, I've said, hey, when can we set up when can we set it up to where I can pull up the videos on the screen?
And did you ask me ever?
I asked your fucking interns who you're supposed to train the right way to do things.
Yeah, the kid that looks like the Bicentennial Man, Michael Jackson, the Indian kid, the Jewish kid who was here for a week and was terrified of Lewis.
You have a UN of interns out there.
Hold on, is this
okay,
up?
Okay, so now we could see the screen. Do you want me to cut to the screen now?
No, I want to make sure none of my personal information is up before we cut to this screen, okay? I don't trust people. All right, so Scopo, come over here. All right, you can cut to the screen now, okay?
Oh, I saw this.
You see this. Okay, this is for the
fans.
I didn't
watch the whole way through because I couldn't do it.
Oh, hey, Corinne.
Waiting for a huge glob of cum to come out of that.
37 seconds. 37 seconds. And immediately I am thrown into the category of viral celebrity. I love this.
Did you go longer and then cut it?
No. I did do it about 40 times in my bathroom or my hotel.
Okay. I was going to say, you got into the good part and then it cut off.
No. Well, I think, first of all, a successful viral video doesn't go... Scobo, I'm a viral celebrity. Let me explain to you something about creating a viral video.
Yeah, okay? let me hear this.
You don't need to overdo it, okay? There's a moment that was funny. The moment of funny, the thing came up, it started fucking singing. It was funny. The oohs were funny. The dancing was funny. The kiss, boom, done. There was nothing else that could have been done in that video that wasn't done in that first 37 seconds. Zach, am I right?
That's the perfect length.
Ugh, fuck, I've heard that so many times in my life. Never.
Now, if you were a smarter viral celebrity, you would have linked your Twitter. In mm-hmm. it, like had at Lewis J. Gomez at the bottom,
so people
or at
know
the
who
end.
The fuck you are.
No. RealAssDude.com.
I'll tell you why. Not? That's desperate. You don't need to do that. They will find me. Okay.
Have they found you?
No. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. Bro Bible did not write a or not Bro Bible, but the other one.
Barstool Taxes.
Barstool Stores.
Barstool Sports did not write a favorable piece on me, and I'm actually.
What do they say about you?
I'm debating unleashing the fucking Gomites on Barstool Sports.
Dude, they're pretty fucking big, Barstool Sports.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see how passionate.
You want to go to war?
We'll see how passionate the Barstool Sports fans are if I decide to unleash the fucking Gomites on them, because it was a little bit. So this is what they wrote, right? Keep your chin up. Is this up on the screen, Johnny Fatigate? It's up now. Okay.
Yes, yep.
Well, I got to make sure there's nothing on my screen that can get me in trouble. What is this stuff? All right, good. Okay, so keep your chin up. You're probably doing better than this guy singing duets with his fleshlight.
That's a good one, though. You can't be mad at that one.
That is the headline on Barstool Sports. Now, hold on. Here's the thing. Here's my... All right, look. I'll read the whole thing. I'll read what they wrote, okay? They wrote, the easiest way to be successful in life is to set the bar low. I don't know who the first person to say that was, but they're a genius because it's true. Zero expectations and zero goals make life extremely easy. One of my favorite Homer Simpson quotes, by the way, is the first step to failure is trying. So I agree with this guy so far. I've done that, and I'm pleased with where I'm at. Set the bar... wherever you know you can leap over it. And guess what? We're officially setting the bar at, are you singing duets in the bathroom with a fleshlight? If you can answer no to that question, then boom, you're successful. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that makes 99.9% of the people on the planet Earth successful. Take comfort in the fact that you're you're better than at least one person in this world. I feel better already. You know,
how long has B been writing for Barstool Sports?
That's true.
Look,
which Barstool is this? New York? There's New York. There's Boston.
Is this Iowa? I don't know. I think it says Iowa.
They have a Barstool Iowa now?
Jesus, I don't know, Christ. Dude. But it's fucking making me angry because here's the problem. And I'll tell you, these guys, okay, I've heard of Barstool Sports before. I had a friend who showed me this website a long time ago.
But there's a lot of different, there's Barstool New York, there's Barstool Boston.
This is just barstoolsports.com. It's barstoolsports.com, which I don't even know why I'm plugging them. But this is on their front page right now. And the headline, they're making it look like I did this.
They don't know where you were.
And they're making it look like I did this, and somehow a fucking video got leaked that I didn't want to be fucking leaked. You fucking morons. Okay, if you run a website which is like funny videos and blogs, wouldn't you just click on my name and go, oh, it's a fucking stand-up comedian who has tons of other videos of him arguing with other comics on his podcast doing MMA picks.
First of all, you see the Homer Simpson, they're trying. If they did that, they were trying to say. They don't give a fuck. They're just going to do it.
Look, here's the thing. Go Mites, if you're listening, don't do anything. Hold.
Does that mean do something?
No. Don't
continue to do what you've been doing your entire life. Do nothing.
Don't do anything. But they are treading. They are treading lightly. Is that the word? Is treading lightly the word?
I think it's.
They should tread lightly. These motherfuckers are treading heavily on thin ice in a something territory. It's very early right now, guys. I'm not good with words before 12:25 p.m.
or what after 12:30 p.m.
or fucking any day of the week.
Oh boy. Let's see. Then let me read some of the comments. I want to read some of the comments.
Why don't you email them and be like, "Yo, I'm a comic. Let's try to fucking spread it."
Get me Barstool Sports phone number right now.
Just go to contact.
We're calling them right now.
Let's go to contact.
No, fuck you.
Is there a specific Barstool you want me to get the contact for?
The barstoolsports.com. That's what I want. Okay. And I'm calling. No, I don't want you to do it because you're on a fucking podcast. I have a producer sitting right there to do it. This is what I'm.
Hey, it's me, the guy with the fleshlight.
This taps into my producer role.
Just fucking put your phone.
I'm sorry. It just taps into my role. I'm like, oh, I'll get it.
You're telling
Bobby, don't yell at me.
You're telling me to go fucking.
It's me, the fleshlight guy. Put Mr. Barstool on the phone.
Okay. Are you sports?
I'm gonna read some of the comments. I'm gonna see if anybody says anything. Somebody said he's kissing his own dick. I didn't kiss my own. First of all, I didn't fuck it. All right, I did. But
did you fuck up?
After I sang the song. Not before I sang the song.
That was the seduction.
We celebrated. It was, you know.
It's like when you do Paradise at the... fuck.
You know,
Paradise by the Dashboard Light and karaoke. You're going to fuck that girl.
Well, you know, like after you do a rap on a big shoot, you've shot movies before, Zach.
Yes,
you know, after it's a big celebration, everyone's like, you have a big party.
Yeah, you fucking extra.
That's what me and Fleshy did. We hung out.
Did you lube it up?
Yeah, it came with a little thing of lube, which is pretty cool.
Was it pretty good or not?
It's not bad. It's fine. I just did it to do it.
Did you fucking blow it right in?
Yeah, what are you? I'm going to pull out. Why would
He's Puerto Rican. Of course he did.
Time out. No, I need you to shut up. I need you to shut up. I need you to shut up for a minute, dude. Did you just ask me if I pulled out of the fleshlight?
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted to fucking spewge in it so you had to clean it up later.
Did you just ask if I pulled out of the fleshlight?
Yeah.
Why would I pull out?
You're Puerto Rican. Who knows if you can get it pregnant or not?
You're a fucking idiot. Admit that you're an idiot. Admit that that's retarded. Please admit that. That's the dumbest.
I'll admit that I'm an idiot. No, but my point was
it comes with a cup at the back, so you jizz in it.
I don't fucking know what it comes with. I don't know. I never fucking had a fleshlight before.
Why would anybody pull out of a fleshlight?
So you don't have to clean it.
Did you wear a condom, dude? Yeah, you know that thing's been around.
I have to admit, Scopo's got a point. Sorry to butt in, but it's
thank
true.
You.
The worst thing about a fleshlight is cleaning that disgusting thing up afterwards. I fucked one before. It's gross.
Cleaning it up, yeah. Look,
you have to cover your whole sink. We have to literally stick the thing into the sink, and then like let water run
through.
No,
dude, you're an idiot. I threw a towel at it, and I started smoking a cigarette, and I said, "Get out." I don't know what the fuck happened to that thing.
People who go to Eastville find it weird that a fleshlight serves them drinks now?
What are you in fucking roast mode always? By the way, that's what Zach's comedy stylings are.
He needs to just do roastings, yeah.
Why don't you just become a one-liner guy
with your
stand-up?
Yeah, I
just become a one-liner guy and just write 1,000 one-liners and make it your thing because you write amazing one. You could be the next Jimmy Carr. you're a fucking monster, but just make like ridiculous, offensive one-liners about everything, pop culture, everything, dude. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to become Zach's manager, okay? I went to Montreal, and I met with great managers. I know what great management is now. I understand how to do it, okay? So...
I got that phone number if you need it.
I want it right now. I'm calling.
Let's call him up.
I'm calling Barstool Sports right now. It's infuriating to me. Who is this person? I need to get them fired.
Well, this is
the person that wrote the article.
Service though, but
what'd you say?
This is their phone number. It's 513.
Whoa! Don't give the Gomites their number.
Why not? That's who we want to give it
no,
to.
No, we're giving it to me. I'm calling them right now. The Gomites can't be trusted. Okay.
They can also just Google.
Yeah, but please, okay? That's another step. At least we didn't give them the number, okay? I'm not trying to start any fucking wars, but they need to be told. This person, hold on. Where is it at? Right here? 513. All right, we're in the hours of operation right now, so here we're calling. And I'm going to put, how do I put on a speaker? Right here, got it. The word speaker. Apparently you just click the button that says speaker.
I'm the flashlight, dude.
Shh.
Turn the volume up on that.
Mike Walker
is not available to take your call.
Who the fuck is that?
Please leave a message Mike after Walker. The tone.
I don't want a personal, what was that, John?
That's their customer service number. That's their main number. No, must be their customer service person.
No. I don't want a customer then service number. I want the main office.
Tell me who the author is.
Main office. I want the main office of Fleshlight.
Fleshlight?
No, I mean Barstool Sports. That's what I meant.
All right. Okay.
Which, by the way, I hung out with a girl from Fleshlight who like runs all the marketing. Super flirty. Super flirty. Mm-hmm. And I sent her this video. I was trying to convince them to...
Put it on their website?
No, I was trying to convince them to pay me to film a full like feature version of this with a bunch of dudes in their Fleshlights. How funny would it be... get me the number of actual Barstool Sports. I want the actual...
That's not going to be so easy to get, but I'll try to find it.
John, you work on that right now. We're going to come back to this. I really mean this. We're going to call Barstool today. We're getting somebody on the phone. I don't give a shit who it is. The author is Trent. Just Trent. That's all I have. They only give one name. Barstool Trent.
They have an email?
No, that's his Twitter. It's Barstool Trent. At Barstool Trent.
Fucking Twitter. Tweet at him.
Hold on, I'm gonna tweet at him right now. At Barstool Trent.
Give me a call.
You cunt.
That's a good way to fucking give me your phone number. It's a good way to get a tender from him.
From me, the Fleshlight guy.
Hashtag Fleshlight Duet. All right, I really did just tweet that at him.
I know what good management is. I know how to get along in this business. You cunt.
I've had management for 24 hours.
The signature on Lewis's email. You cunt. Lewis J. Gomez.
Do you think he'll give it to me? I wonder if he'll give it to me. Probably not. Anyway, Montreal Just for Laughs. JFL Festival, the biggest festival in the
Which
world.
Which one was it? 44 or something like that?
I don't know, dude.
Oh, they didn't have it?
I don't know. I don't think they really pay attention by the numbers. I mean, I think they do have like a number.
No, JFL 42. I remember that a couple years ago.
Yeah, I don't know if that's even the same thing. I think that's anyway, I don't know if they're counting the number of JFLs. I'm almost positive that's not actually the case.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, dude, biggest festival in the world. A lot of fun. I mean, it's not like... I've done like other like smaller comedy festivals. This shit is like, there's no words to describe it. You know, people, I compare it to like Parenthood. Like you walk in one man and you walk out a different guy. Like it really is. It's just like the whole experience. It is almost like a surreal type of thing. And I don't know. I mean, Fatigate was there. Fatigate, are you going to be a coffee buddy?
Yeah.
Love you, man. You're the best. Wait, this isn't up, right? This is no. We're all up on the screen. Okay, it's. I don't know how it is for a non-comic, but for somebody like a young dude coming into. Oh, I'm not young at all, but a young comic coming into that festival, it's like. I mean, I'm trying to put it in words, but I truly can't. It's a nonstop party. But in a weird way, you're still on and you're still networking and you still feel like you're working.
Well, that's what comedy is. It's kind. I mean, when you're not doing stand up, it's networking constantly.
But it's different, dude, because it's a fucking. You're also getting hammered from like noon until 7 in the morning every single night. Just get like partying nonstop, and like you're. I mean, dude, it was. I mean. The tension that your body feels, and I, you know, I'm making an analogy with parenthood, just kind of about going in one way and coming out another, but it kind of reminds me of parenthood as well, because when you become a parent, you got a fucking kid running around, and there's this thing, like, people don't explain how hard being a dad is, and the thing that's really hard about being a parent is this constant fear of this kid being hurt. Like, even now, my son's out at the park with his mother, and in my head, it's like, well, what if there's, like, a fucking pit bull in that park, and he goes up to pet it and grab its tail, like he does. Yeah, and then he gets attacked by this dog. You know, so that fear is constantly on me at all times, and it's a very tense feeling. JFL, it's not a fear because it's awesome and it's fun, but there's this tense, like you almost, you don't know who you're in a circle with. You could be in a circle with
any one person could kind of change your course. Is that what you mean?
You know, you don't feel like anybody's going to change your course. You just don't want to fuck it. For me anyway, I'm an asshole. So I am constantly, and this probably isn't the struggle for everybody. Dan Soder, Michael Che, guys who are really, really good. Nate Bargatze, great with industry, great in social situations. They don't have to actually try.
I thought that was Barstool for a second.
No. They don't actually have to try to be on. And I have to really put a lot of effort in order to be on, in order to not say something fucking stupid that's going to get somebody to be like, all right, I got to fucking walk away from this guy. This guy's a psycho. Or, you know, to not, you know, just to not do something. Like, I mean, dude, and at the same time, I'm getting fucking hammered, getting stoned all day long. I mean, it is such a weird fucking mixture of partying and working.
In a way, you were performing for, you know, that many days straight.
Yeah.
How many shows did you do?
I did 3 shows. I did...
including the roast thing?
Including the roast battle. And the roast battle was just one show. It was an undercard, which Zach helped me out with some stuff as well. I mean, Zach is my fucking...
He's the go-to.
Dude, Zach is my rock. Zach, Zach, you are my fucking rock with the roasting. I'm no longer taking jokes from other people. I'm no longer taking jokes from other comics. I'll take jokes from you because...
He's not a comic?
Yeah, well, you're barely a comic.
What am I doing?
Because this is the best thing in your life.
Yeah.
No, a couple of the other guys that have taken some jokes from you, they give a little like slights about doing their jokes afterwards. Joe, I think, went on his podcast and said that he just made a comment about how I still owed him money for him writing. And I haven't seen him. I owe him $100 for helping me write with the roast. I paid him. And I just haven't seen him. Before I went to Montreal, I was like, I guess I'll see you after Montreal. And I haven't seen him yet. And it's like, I think there's like an unspoken thing where it's like, obviously, dude, I'm giving everyone credit that helped me write for the Big J roast. But it's like, there's a weird thing with certain guys. I'm not saying Joe did that himself because I didn't hear the episode. But I have people tweeting at me to pay Joe List now, which is just fucking annoying. But it's
some
like,
people were classier and just laughed extra loud at jokes they wrote, like Rob Mayo.
Yeah, right. Well, Mayo's
watch the video, Mayu, you know it's a Rob Mayo joke.
Mayo's another guy.
Mayo told everybody that.
I know he told everybody that wrote. He wrote every joke that he wrote. He named, and you're like, dude, look, we all fucking like. I'm helping certain people write for this roast battle show that's coming up. I'm not gonna go and say which fucking jokes I've written. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, at the end of the day, I think the idea, especially the Big J roast, it was like this community thing where people were helping each other. The biggest comics on that show were getting jokes from other comics, okay? So that was just what that was. And it wasn't so much about like, dude, here's the thing. Writing a roast joke isn't actually that hard. Delivering a roast joke and being in the moment and being able to fucking, you know, do that, you could give a random person roast great roast jokes and watch them go roast.
We did, Anthony Cumia.
Cumia, Scopo will not pull any punches. He doesn't walk on anthills. Chris Scopo. But the truth is, it's not that easy on any level to do any of the roast shit. But I do think it was a little weird for Rob to go and say that. And I'm just, for me personally, I'm just like, well, I've kind of gotten into writing roast jokes since the Big J roast, since the Alex Edelman roast, since roast battle against Kurt Metzger tomorrow night. I'm kind of getting into writing roast jokes now, so I feel like I'm kind of getting good at it.
It's a different kind of muscle. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Me and you, we write jokes about like maybe our lives,
yeah,
and we kind of make that funny. instead of just going like but a joke you, like that. It's different.
It becomes easier as you try to start doing it.
Yeah,
I never really did it before. So with the big J roast, I was like really nervous that I wanted like fucking crazy fire jokes. That's why I got Zach and Joe List to help me because I knew these guys were fucking great. But it's like now I'm kind of going, I'm watching other people roast and I realize that other people actually kind of suck at it. I have some good ones. Before the end of the show, let's go over some of the roast jokes. We should write a few roast jokes on the show, give the people at home the process and show them what's going on. We're pulling the curtains aside here today on the Real Ass Podcast. I love it. Do we have the number for Barstool Sports? John Fetty is not in the room. He's infuriating. Let's see if this guy tweeted back at me. Did he?
I'm going to say no.
Let's see. Jack Corbley. No, that's not him at all. No, he hasn't tweeted back at me yet, but I'm coming at you, Trent, from Barstool Sports.
What did Bro Bible pick it up, you said?
Bro Bible, yeah, they were all favorable. They were like, this is funny. Look how great this is.
Well, what's
Man
his
sings
name?
Hilarious duet with his...
what's his name writes for Jared Fried.
Good. Well, so, it wasn't him.
Oh, it wasn't? Okay. I thought maybe he helped you out with putting it on there.
No. So, Montreal, fucking amazing time. I think a lot of people go into the unrepped show where they come out of it and they go, oh, dude, nothing really fucking happened. And I heard some people saying that this year as well. I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. Like, I guess it is what you do with it. You know, For me, I didn't really use the experience like, oh, my God, I finally made it to Montreal. I used the experience to work. Like, I was literally going, like, obviously I was partying a lot and having a lot of fun. But I looked at the experience of like, all right, I'm fucking here. Now I need to do something, you know, and I'm not very good at that. So in spite of the instinct of mine, which is to just hang out with my friends that I know, just hang out with the people that I'm close to, I did kind of let myself go. I went on a couple lunch meetings with casting people while I was there, which I just wouldn't do. You know, they reached out to me. I wasn't very good at like going and inserting myself into conversations, which a lot of people do, but I didn't think I needed to because I was one of the guys. I mean, I've been doing comedy for 10 years. So I'm one of the guys that was up there that I already, people knew me, like the guy, Josh Adam Myers, who's fucking hilarious. He runs a show called the goddamn Comedy Jam. Yeah. Fucking amazing. Okay. I went to go see that, watch Bert Kreischer do one of the funniest stories I've ever seen in my entire life. But as he's going around to the new faces in my showcase and introducing himself and kind of giving a little pep talk about, because he hosted our new faces showcase, he gets over to me and he's like, oh, dude, big fan, huge fan of Legion of Skanks, dude. You really? And so it's like, it wasn't the same type of thing. It wasn't a bunch of like a lot of the, there was guys that were 2.5 years in, 3 years in that were on my showcase.
Oh, fantastic.
And by the way, everyone did great.
Lewis was like a 23-year-old guy hanging out in the parking lot of a high school.
you guys want weed?
You guys want me to buy you cigarettes? You got to show me a picture of your girlfriend's panties.
I can get beer.
But it's like, I think I was a little less disenchanted and a little less like wide-eyed and terrified. And I was trying to go around and make some waves. And I was kind of hanging out with like Nate Bargatze. I was hanging out with Ari a lot at the festival. I hung out with Che a little bit at the festival. I hung out with Bert a little bit at the festival. I was hanging out with guys that were like known. So it wasn't like a lot of the new faces just kind of stuck together in a corner. And like I said, I get the economy. If you're a 2.5 year comic and you got new faces, I mean, whoa, that just, yeah, that's an accomplishment in itself. But for me personally, at 10 years in, I'm like literally, besides Billy Wayne Davis, I was the most experienced comic on the showcase. And, you know, that was the type of thing where it's like, well, no, I'm not just happy being here. I want to fucking come here, make a statement, meet the right people, and then hopefully be invited back next year because people go, yeah, that guy's fucking a presence. And I think that's the one thing. Like, it's not even like my showcases were unbelievable. The roast was fucking crazy. But I think I did a good job at kind of creating a presence for myself. A lot of people, it was more like, people didn't even think I was a new face. When I told people that I was a new face, they were like surprised, you know?
Yeah, you were just that guy aggressively rubbing the back of people with TV credits. Hey, buddy, good to see you.
I don't know. I think I will say to any comics that listen to this that I wouldn't I'll tell you, the unwrapped experience for me was ideal because now I'm working with a manager. I'm talking to a couple agents. You know, for me personally, I was with a management company that it just didn't work. My manager wasn't a fan of mine, so she wasn't like trying to put me out there and push me. And that is pointless. If you have a manager and they're just kind of for you to say you have a manager and they're not actually doing anything, I think it's a way better route to go unrepped. Way better route. I don't know. I mean, it was like, if you're the person, if you're doing well in the showcase and you do the right things, people are fucking on your shit, you know? I think the regular new faces, it's harder because you have representation that's kind of with you the whole time. So the other reps and all the people that would be buying you drinks and lunch and all that other shit are kind of staying away from you. And then you're kind of like trying to, I guess, schmooze for a development deal or with casting agents. But you can do that all by yourself anyway. If you're good, you can go meet every casting agent.
Yeah, but you're good at schmoozing people.
I'm not good at schmoozing people.
Yeah, I've seen you at comedy clubs and you walk over to the fucking owners and you go, hey, what's up? How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Because you're bullshitting with them.
Once I'm comfortable, then I'm good. I've said this before on multiple platforms. I am a very tough pill to swallow. I make terrible first impressions. Really, really bad first impressions. You too, yeah, Zach. You're a monster.
Everyone hates you for like a good year. At first. Yeah.
And then after you meet me four or five times, people love me. They fucking fall in love with me. And that's what I think is happening with the industry with me, is the industry's finally seen me enough times. Like, there's certain people...
The 8th or 10th time.
Dude, well, on like Facebook, there's certain people now that like my shit on Facebook or retweet my shit. And they're just people in the industry that you go, like, they never 2 years ago did that type of stuff at all. So there's little key, the truth of the matter is, if people in the industry are doing that for you, you're kind of on their radar. Honestly, Facebook fucking built an algorithm so you know you're on their radar, because you wouldn't even be coming up in their feed if they weren't looking at your shit and liking your shit.
You just got to make yourself undeniable.
Or stick around long enough that they're like, please get this guy away from me.
They're taking meetings with you because they want to.
I'm a kidney stone. Yeah. I'm the kidney stone of comedy. That's my newest nickname, the kidney stone of comedy.
What else? What's did you get any new nicknames up there? Yeah, come on. No. You get something. Nate didn't give you a good one?
No new nicknames. It was all a fucking surreal experience, man. I'll tell you, man. And I'll talk to you guys off air about some stuff as well, because you guys are both young bucks that are trying to go up there yourselves. And it was cool, man. I don't know. It's a much different thing than it feels like. It's a much bigger deal than I thought it was going to be. I didn't realize how big the fucking shows were. Thank you, Johnny. I didn't realize how big the shows were. I didn't realize how fucking... It wasn't even like a pressure. It wasn't a pressure. The shows were just like a big deal. People were... They had their eyes on the New Faces
shows.
How
big are your shows at the New Faces show? How many people are in the show?
Johnny, what was it? Like 500 people that one theater? The first one?
Oh, you do theaters?
Yeah, it was probably 500
first
people.
First one was theater. Big. The second one was like maybe 175-seat black box theater. Small black box theater.
Okay.
No stage. Like,
it was
floor.
Hard to get in. It was packed.
Yeah. Dude, it was like... those shows are kind of the talk of the festival. There's the big showcases... And then there are certain shows that become the talk, like Roast Battle and Goddamn Comedy Jam. But the New Faces shows are always the talk of the festival and what people want to get into.
Isn't that? I mean, that's the one every young one wants to get into. The New Face, the older comics like Bert and all those guys, they just come back to perform in front of, you know, big arena theater kind of thing.
Well, but in that area, there's like fucking 100, not 100, but maybe like 50 rooms, whether they're rock clubs, theaters, the Place des Arts or whatever, however you pronounce it, is a huge complex that has, what, I don't know how many, but maybe 20 theaters within it. Some of them are 1,000 seat theaters, some of them are 500 seat theaters, some of them are 3,000 seat theaters. It's a huge complex. So within a few miles, you have 50 places that all have huge shows going on. There's small ones too, like French shows, and there's probably 30 shows, 40 shows a night that people really want to see, like big deal shows.
Could you walk?
Like, what's it called? Chappelle had his own shows. Kevin Hart had his own shows.
Kevin Hart was there too?
Kevin Hart, but he was at the... what do they call it? The stadium,
the arena.
Yeah, the arena. Yeah. So it's like it's just, look, dude. It's a
a fan, could you walk? So you buy one ticket that gets you access to everything.
Not Kevin Hart or Chappelle. Not the
not
huge
the big
huge
ones.
Shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could go to New Faces. You could go to see Bert Kreischer's headlining show. You could go see Michael Che's headlining show. Nate's headlining
That's
show.
Cool.
You can go see all the you know, the roast battles, Goddamn Comedy Jams. All of that shit is all included. It's just the huge, huge, huge shows.
Yeah, because they want to make money.
Can't do it.
That.
Louis C.K. and Aziz Ansari flew up just for one day and started just going all over the shows and doing shit.
Kevin Hart's new hour is fucking really good.
I didn't see it.
It's really good.
I did not see it. But I'm fucking pumped. A lot of great stuff happening. Lots of great stuff happening over in the world of the Real Ass Dude right now. What else is going on, guys? I didn't even really plan a show today. I just was fucking whatever.
He was so excited about the viral video.
I really got up. I was very excited. Do we have Barstool Sports phone number yet, Johnny Fatigate?
He went to get you coffee, dude.
I went to get you coffee.
You can't multitask.
I'm having a tough time besides that customer service number. I got to be honest.
Hold on, dude. You're going to make...
Can I look up...
No, no. I'll do it, dude. Barstool Sports Offices phone number. Boom. Dunno. Let's see. Yelp. Barstool Sports Print Media Boston. Customer service.
You should call the particular office that did the piece.
This is Barstool Sports. Hey, look, I got a number right here. We're done. What's the guy's name again? Trent?
Yeah, it was Trent.
Okay, here we go, guys. I don't know who it is, but 617. I can't say it out loud.
It's so hard for him to read and not just fucking say it.
Shut up, dude. All right, here it is. Speaker, let's go. Your phone has been disconnected. Please pay. Why is it not working? God damn it, John.
You on my phone?
Yeah, give me your phone, dude. I'm out.
Yeah, take one.
It's not calling for some reason. Give me. Here we go. This bit better fucking work out at the end. We better get somebody on the phone. All right, here we go.
This is fucking pretty dead air.
No. Shut up. Why don't you talk, you assholes?
On fucking your phone.
Yeah.
I'm coming to Barstool. I'm blowing it all up.
I'm going to get fucking calls from the government today. Did you make threats against people?
Go.
Speaker's on the bottom, by the way.
Hello?
You hit speaker?
Oh, is it just not ringing? Is it just the wrong phone number? Is that why? God damn it. John, can you do me a favor? Can you call on your phone and try to get them on the phone? And as soon as you get somebody on the phone, come over to me with it?
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. I want to get to the bottom of it.
I am John Fatigate. I represent the Fleshlight guy.
Oh, shit. All right. So, anyway, we're doing this roast tomorrow, Kurt Metzger roast battle. Everyone thinks that I'm going to lose this. Everyone thinks that Kurt Metzger, I'll say this right now. Kurt Metzger, in my opinion, best comic under 20 years. Best comic, period, under 20 years. My favorite comedian. I've known Kurt a very, very long time. I'm a friend of Kurt's, kind of. I think I'm as close to a friend of Kurt's as you can be without being like his like real friend, inner like circle. A Big J or something. Because I don't think he's a human. He's kind of a bad person. He's a psychopath, you know. So I don't think he really is able to get close to. But I'm fairly friendly with Kurt. You know, I've known Kurt before I started doing comedy, and when he was only doing comedy for a couple years, and he's always been just a fucking cool guy. But he's a fucking monster of a joke writer. Now, here's the thing. Kurt Metzger
is also a monster. Yeah.
That's going to be my opening joke. Thank you, Chris. Oh. Write that down. Kurt Metzger also has no respect for me. So this is the kind of like the thing. Kurt is going to definitely underprepare. I have a very strong feeling that Kurt Metzger is not going to spend his entire day working on this like I'm going to do today and tomorrow.
Can I say though? But did you think he was going to underprepare for the Big J roast because he came out firing?
No. He likes Jay.
He has a ton of respect for Jay.
But he forgot about the whole thing he was doing. He was the roast fucking master, and he forgot about that.
That's because he has no respect for me.
Okay.
So if he had respect for me, he would have remembered him being roast master, would not have double booked it. So here's the thing. Kurt came out great in the Big J roast.
Fire, yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, it wasn't, if you understand what a roast battle is and you understand the way it works, and I'll pull it up on the screen. I'll pull up the actual roast battle that we're doing up on the screen in a couple minutes. It's not this stream of thought, like just fucking being yourself, be in the moment, you know, hilarious thing. It is short and sweet. It is precise. It is fucking, you get in and you get out. This is the reason I beat Alex Edelman, because Alex Edelman came at me with some fire jokes, like really good, but he was all over the place. He was fucking jumping all over. He was all wacky. He was saying a lot. He wasn't delivering the jokes crisp. I was literally cool as a cucumber. I just would say the joke. I'd step back. I'd let the audience laugh. He'd go all over the place, get all wacky and zany. He'd say whatever he said. I'd rebut it very clean, very crisp, really think about my words. I understood how to do that thing. And I don't think, and I know Kurt Metzger has done roast battle, but I heard he didn't do well. I heard he was super underprepared, didn't really give a shit. It was him against Jesse Joyce for the New York Comedy Festival.
And he won.
Did he? I heard Jesse Joyce won.
No, he won.
But I heard it wasn't very good.
I just remember him as a big fucking trophy and picture. I remember that.
All I heard that it wasn't very good, and that I have a feeling that Kurt's not going to put in the same type of preparation. Now, look, I think there's a lot more meat on the bones with me than there is for Jesse Joyce or for Big J, for that matter. I think there's a lot to make fun of on me, but there's a lot to make fun of on Kurt. Yeah. Tons to make fun of on Kurt. So me and Zach are going to fucking sit down after this. We're going to write a bunch. I've got some ideas. I've got some funny ones. I'm going to try them out on you guys because nobody listening to this show will probably be at Roast Battle. Maybe they will. Tomorrow night, guys, New York Comedy Club, 11:30. I think it's already sold out, but whatever.
I'm upset I can't go. I want to go.
Why can't you go?
I'm doing Uncle Vinny's tomorrow night.
Mm. I want to attack. What do I want to attack on Kurt? I want to attack the way
facial
he looks.
Featured his face.
What about this one?
Nose.
Kurt Metzger, you have bug eyes and gray skin. You look like you just drowned.
It needs a second thing.
What do you mean?
It needs to be drowned in something.
Yeah.
The specificity is what makes it funnier.
Okay. Okay. All right. So what is it drowned in? See, we're going to workshop. We're going to workshop on the show.
Or you look like something that drowned.
You can like, what a bug, like little water, like on the street, something like that. Some, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying something like that area.
Well, I don't even know what the hell you're talking
like,
about.
Like a bird bath. You like you drowned in a bird bath.
You could just direct these towards me.
I thought we're workshopping here.
I shouldn't workshop with Scopo.
I thought we're workshopping.
It's going to expose how terrible of a joke writer Scopo is. Holy fuck.
In a bird bath. I don't know.
No, he was saying. But the specificity has to be. And we're going to obviously do the Frankenstein jokes and all that stuff. But he's saying more along like that lines. Like, you know, it looks like fucking. Oh, you know what's even funny? He like a Jason Voorhees joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something about him being Jason Voorhees. You look like you drowned in Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah, I could see that's funny.
I'm trying to go with that.
The
area,
specificity is much.
Bird bath.
I'm trying to think something like that. I don't know.
Bird bath.
We're fucking workshopping here. So what are you doing in a workshop? You throw ideas out and one critiques it.
Kurt Metzger. And that's funny. It was like holy shit, Kurt, you are ugly. You have bug eyes and grayish blue skin. You look like you drowned in Camp Crystal Lake. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. That'll be a big laugh. Boom. You're right. Specificity. Very important. What about this one? Kurt Metzger hosts a podcast called Race Wars. Kurt, your knuckles drag on the floor. You have huge nostrils, yet you still have white skin. Your body is a race war.
It's perfect the way it is.
Good.
Perfect. All right, good. Hold on, I got more in here. Let's see. I put this one on Facebook, but I do think it's good. I think I should just do it because I have a lot of jokes.
How many likes did it get?
A lot, like 175 or something. Kurt has one of the brightest minds in comedy. I know this because he's 6'4" and he has humongous nostrils. So if you look at him, you can literally see his brain at work. Let's see what else.
You're really struggling today.
I really am, man. I don't know. I gotta think.
Dude, I can't find his number. I think you should just yell at this person through his voicemail.
No, dude, I want to fucking call. What can you call that?
Who's
number?
Who's the parent company?
Call the number again that you originally gave me. The customer service number. It's in your phone.
I already called that person again and went to the voicemail again. But if you want to leave a voicemail for him, maybe he'll call back.
All right, I'll leave a voicemail for him. All right, let's see. Kurt Metzger looks like a cab driver who just found out his license is suspended.
Works.
It's great.
Yeah.
No?
Thing and a thing, yeah.
You're not fucking laughing at anything, Scopo.
I closed the middle of a yawn,
dude. So is the whole audience. I hate both of you right now. What's this guy's name?
Mike Walker.
Busy
and cannot take your call. Please leave a message after the tone. Press the pound key to end recording.
Hey, Mike, what's going on, man? This is Luis J. Gomez. I'm the guy that's in the Fleshlight Time of My Life duet video. So, yeah, you know, I saw the thing you guys wrote on your website about me, and I thought it was a little bit fucked up because, you know, it was like a joke. And I thought that you guys didn't really get the point of it. So I'd like to talk to Trent specifically. So wait, John, I can't give him the number.
Just call this number back that's calling you.
It went to right to a voicemail though.
Yeah, but it went to voicemail.
Yeah, it should
go
have
off air and then.
No, I'll give the number to the club. They can call the club, right? Give me your phone number. No, I'm not gonna. I'm on the air.
And you're leaving all this as a voicemail.
He hung this up 10 seconds ago.
He didn't hang up anything, fuckface. All right, hold on.
Give me your phone number.
Make sure turn the mics off.
Oh, that's going to help.
Call 646. Turn the fucking mics off. It's too late. Make sure they're all off, John.
Hello, hello. 646-600-3498. I'm specifically looking for Trent. Who I think writes for Parsons Sports Iowa. So, thank you.
Are we good now? We're back, people.
All right, guys. That's why they pay us the big bucks. All right, here's the topics that I want to attack on Kurt. He got into a fight at the Comedy Cellar. He beats his girlfriend, which Zach sent me a handful of very funny Kurt beats his girlfriend jokes already. He lets guys fuck his girlfriend. He has night terrors.
That so, should be. Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah.
He's night terrors?
Yeah, so does his girlfriend. Boom. He writes for the Amy Schumer show.
The terrors where he sees himself in his dreams.
Yeah. He looks like Frankenstein. He's a former Jehovah's Witness. His album is called White Precious. He was a voice on the show Ugly Americans. He's a drug addict and he goes on crazy Facebook rants. I think those are the big topics that I can kind of attack here.
Yeah, I think Fatigate's got a good lead with what he's not having those night terrors about is definitely like.
Yeah.
Like he dreams of a future where he has to write sketches for a fat chick to feel better about herself.
That's funny.
Something like that.
That's funny. I want to be mean though. I really want to. I want to cut deep on Kurt because here's the thing. I'm probably not going to win anyway. I have
but
a chance.
You're going to go down swinging.
I have, but forget even just going down swinging. I want to do two things. Okay. Number one, I want to have just a Rocky Balboa moment at the end. I don't care who wins. I want to just fucking call out.
You want to walk into the room and say, "You give him my all."
I want to just. I don't even care. I want to know that he knows that I'm fucking here. Okay. And then I also want to hurt his feelings a little bit. I want Kurt to see it in my face that I really mean.
As a side note, I'm so impressed Lewis has discussed having a battle for this long without making an MMA analogy.
I don't need to make any, dude, listen to
you
me.
You are a different person.
I only need
you
to.
You haven't shoehorned MMA into this
I only
at all.
Need to shoehorn MMA into things that have nothing to do with battling. Okay?
That's fair.
Because there's enough animosity and violence already in this conversation that I don't need to bring any more to it. I got it. So, what else do I got here? Kurt used to go door to door preaching the word of the Lord. Blah, blah, blah. That's not funny. Do, do, do. Let's see. That's a great one. You gave me that one, dude.
Good.
Well, it was I reworded it. Every night, Kurt crushes his girlfriend Karen's trachea. Kurt has the face of Mr. Bean, the body of a Sasquatch, and the relationship skills of Ray Rice. As a tag onto that. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny, right? I wrote that part, guys. I know. Joe List is out there probably going like, "Oh, he's doing my fucking jokes." But yeah, that was all me. Let's think. Oh, another thing, Big J. One time Kurt let Big J fuck his ex-girlfriend in the ass while Kurt fucked her in the puss. They DP'd his ex-girlfriend with Big J, which is just, there's something hilariously visual about these two fucking monsters.
But you can't talk about another comedian because the audience doesn't know who Big J is, really.
It doesn't matter. His name is Big J. They can make a couple, they can deduce a couple things about that.
You gotta just say the comedian Big J Oakerson. And then go from there.
Thanks, Scopo. Thanks for the advice, buddy.
Well, no, someone told me this.
Know, what if it, watching that must have been like watching a girl get fucked by Timon and Pumbaa?
That's perfect. That is perfect. See? This is why I have Zach on the fucking team. He's a monster. Birdbath, you fucking moron. Make me furious, dude. Holy shit, dude. He said birdbath.
By the way, the Timon and Pumbaa thing is a thing I've been saving forever to say about Jay and Dave because Lewis is obviously Simba. And he's like in the woods right now and Bob Kelly's Mufasa like brought him into the world like, dude, everything the light touches is yours, dude. And then Kelly was the bird like, Lewis is playing in the elephant graveyard. Right, but yeah. Now he's like in the woods with them.
This is the road. Here, turn. I'm gonna put this on. This is what me and Metzger are doing at the New York Comedy Club tomorrow night.
the Broken Girl medal. This is going to be a fun show. All right. 1 minute, 10 to 10. The trading jokes. Who's going first, ladies?
Yeah. All right.
Blondie, brunette, Leah, Liz. Are we ready?
Beautiful. She has that long brown hair, those big brown eyes, and that deep, sexy voice. I'd say she reminds me of Bruce Jenner, but Bruce has better tits.
Leah's stand-up is so bad, the Baltimore Police Department is now using it on the protesters.
She likes to role-play as Charles Dickens characters, which makes sense because the audience comes in with great expectations and leaves saying, that was the worst of times.
Clever is fine, but you have to be mean as well.
Yeah.
Leah, you squinty-eyed Renee Zellweger, sultry looking motherfucker. You had me at goodbye.
Liz Stewart is so sweet. She's like a mother figure to me. I'm sorry, she has a figure of a mother.
That was good. Not bad. So you guys get it. Okay. So these girls are okay at it. And they, but here's the thing, they know how to do it. That's the way you got to do it. And by the way, here's the funny part. They're in a whole thing with Roast Battle right now. That gentleman is Moses.
Rel.
No, that's not Rel. They're in a whole thing because I guess the creators of the original show split up. There was one gentleman named Rel Battle, and this guy, I forget his first name. I'm going to say John Moses because that's the guy from New York. But his last name is Moses. They call him Moses on the show. He's the host of the show. He's that guy right there. And he's the one that hosted Roast Battle in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, these guys have had a thing where they split up and they're both kind of still doing it. And I think they're both calling it a roast battle, so it's weird. So I got booked on this one at the New York Comedy Club, but now apparently they're bringing it. I don't know if they've announced it yet, but they're bringing it to another club in New York City. But Jeff Ross has teamed up with the other ones, not the one at the New York Comedy Club. So going to get a little weird here in New York City.
I think it's Brian Moses.
It is Brian Moses, yes. Now,
shouldn't those guys just have to have a roast battle and the winner gets the show?
Somebody should have made that joke ready if they didn't. that guy, Brian Moses, fucking great host. One of the things that I learned watching everybody hosting Josh Adam Myers, him, I mean, you know, even Ari's a great host. There's just a way to kind of like own a room when you host. And I people have called me a great host before, but I learned a lot watching some of these bigger shows. But yeah, that it's kind of interesting that they're.
Oh shit, you should be likable.
These guys are both kind of doing it now, but that style where they did it, I mean, dude, they were in and out with their jokes. They said the jokes. You can't, if you say throughout the jokes,
you're gonna lose your momentum.
Yeah,
you're gonna. It's whoever is crisper. You have to assume that everyone's gonna have great jokes going to this,
and you
thing.
Can't tag it up too much because if it gets a laugh before that,
yeah,
your last tag's not gonna be heard.
You got to be fucking super tight, super precise in and out, and that's where I think Kurt Metzger is gonna lose. That's where Alex Edelman lost, and that's where I'm just very conscious about being a good performer, and I'm very conscious. And here's the thing: either way, it doesn't actually matter. This show isn't designed for. There's no. It's not like you get paid if you win. And you don't if you lose. No, I hope that's not the case. But it's designed to really entertain the audience. The way this works, they have, I don't know if this is going to be the case at the New York Comedy Club, but the one that I did.
It's three people, and then.
They have the judges, but not only do they have the judges, but then they have like the hater section, which is like these two racist white people that just say ridiculous things just randomly throughout the show. They just say racist shit, which is
so
awesome.
The old men from the Muppets are there.
Basically, but it's like a couple that they're like young, like Republicans. They look like
at the first.
And then they also have three guys that they call them the wave, the Negro wave, I guess, in LA, but they were just white guys here. And when like whenever somebody has like a crazy joke.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Dude, they like run up on stage and do crazy shit where they like they
just... Are you sure that just wasn't black guys that were in the crowd?
but
every time there was a joke, they got up and walked in a circle.
That's what it is designed to make fun of. That's the joke, because it was a bunch of black guys that they would basically do the Def Jam, go crazy, but they brought it to another level because they started doing animated like sketches throughout it. So it'll be like they'll run up on stage and then machine guns will go off and then they'll have like ketchup splatter all over their you know, all over their stomachs.
I watched the one in the Comedy Store and that's what they were doing.
Awesome, dude.
Fucking hilarious.
And so there's all these moments that are also happening within the show. So it's just laugh, laugh, laugh. The roasts are great, but there's all this other shit that's going on as well. That's such an amazing experience, such an amazing show. They did one where like the two guys, somebody hit a crazy joke. The two guys stood straight up on the stage. The other guy came with like a toy airplane and just crashed it into both of the guys and they both fell down. Dude, it was fucking bananas. So much fun. It's like, and the idea of the show is see, you know, how far you can take it. And it kind of gave me a little bit of inspiration because, you know, I do a lot of, I say a lot of stupid shit. I've met already with some people in the industry that have been like, dude, we love you, but you say some crazy shit on some of these podcasts you do. And you know, anything that I say, race related, sex related, you know, and literally everything I say
is offensive.
No, it's not offensive. It's, I mean, to try to be funny, you know, I'd say 99% of it, if I'm saying something that's making fun of race issues or making fun of, you know, it's to be funny. If I'm ever talking about a serious issue, I think I have a fairly, you know, good head on my shoulders. I don't, you know, I'm not just...
always going for the joke first.
I'm always going for the joke first. Yeah. So it kind of gave me some inspiration because, you know, I'm Legion of Skanks in particular. It's such a, you know, it's such a dirty show. The idea in the tagline of the show, it says it's the most offensive podcast on earth. We've designed it to try to see who can take it further and further and further. And, you know, it's a choice that I made. I have thousands of hours at this point, probably, of me on tape out there on the internet saying ridiculous shit. And you kind of have to own, you know, that as being who you are. And that's kind of why I got to Montreal, because I was this guy, because I self-produced these podcasts, because the Legion of Skanks only became popular because people were like, yeah, dude, finally a show where there's just guys that aren't afraid to go there and to just joke how they want to joke. It's very much the spirit of Patrice O'Neill and the spirit of these great comics who just didn't give a fuck and said, let's just be funny first. And Legion of Skanks kind of created a safe haven for that. And we have the tagline, the most offensive podcast on earth. And it's almost like if you knock on that door, you can't complain. You know, how could you go and listen to Legion of Skanks and go, oh my God, they're making light of mental retardation, or they're making jokes about black people and Jews. It's like the idea of the show is that. So a show like Roast Battle, I think it's kind of cool because it lets you, you know, expand those, even though the parameters are very specific, just the limitations on the type of things you can joke about, it's like no holds barred. And that's beautiful. That's for a comic like me, that's why I got into this. So that show really connected with me. You know, I hope to be a part of it as it comes to New York more and more and more, because I love doing it, you know? And, you know, we'll fucking...
And also, it might be a good forum for people that don't know you yet to see you at your best.
Mm. Exactly. So, yeah, dude, this is going to be fucking... It's going to be a really, really fun show, dude.
I think we should get Zach to do one.
You should do one, dude.
You
should have done you and Zach.
No, I'll get destroyed.
Yeah, but at least you guys are at more of a similar fucking level of comedy than you're doing Joe List.
Can't
announce that. Oh. Well, too late, guys. Zach and Mika, or Chris Scopo versus Joe List. It's all happening, guys.
But no, I know Rel.
And you're going to get destroyed.
I know Rel, so I'll put in a word in, try to get you to do roast.
Yeah,
battle.
Zach is a fucking animal, dude. Zach should be writing for the Comedy Central roasts. You know, I'll say, and I won't say any names because we're going to get out of here in a few minutes. But, you know, the Big J roast, I didn't get into, I'm not going to say any names in this, but there was a comic that there was a bunch of comics that I asked to write for the Big J roast and help out. Not for me. I already had you and Joe. I didn't need fucking other people to help out. I was asking for, I won't say the names of the comics, but there was a couple comics on the show that came in late that needed help writing. Big J's wife needed help writing. And I went to a bunch of comics, yourself, Rob Mayu,
Norman.
Mark Norman, yeah, but like I said, these are people that I went to help write for these other people. So, I went to a bunch of people, and one guy in particular said no. I won't say his name. Cut my mic. I want them to know who I'm talking about. Mics. All right, I'm back. So I went to him and I was like, dude, do you want to do this? I know you're a really good writer. You want to do this? And he was like, no, I'm too busy. No, you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. He's not too busy. Let's just be honest. This is a fact, okay? And that's fine. You know, that's obviously you have a right to say that. I don't give a shit. I didn't even think twice about it. I thought it was kind of funny that he said that because I know what's going on. But I was like, all right, fine. So then he goes and tells another friend of mine who shall remain nameless. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this guy started giving me shit, you know, and he was like, the second guy.
Okay.
Up at Montreal, we're hanging out, I just said to him, I was like, I thought it was really weird that he wouldn't write for it. And he was like, yeah, man, that's your problem. He was like, you guys think it's a bigger deal than it is. I was like, well, no, it's not that I think it's a bigger deal than it is. I think if you have absolutely nothing going on in your career, to be paid to go and help out with this roast, which, not for nothing, the Big J roast, it wasn't a small fucking roast. John, you have no vested interest in the Big J roast, right? You have nothing involved there. I mean, that was a big deal in the comedy community. Am I wrong?
What do you mean I have no vested interest?
No, I'm saying you weren't like involved in the Big J roast, so there's no reason for you to say it was a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, I wanted to be there really bad. It was an awesome roast. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a
huge deal. Everybody's talking about it.
It was a really big deal just with the community. As big of a deal, you know, even a bigger deal because it's only a one-off, but it's as big of a deal as doing, like, you know, Hannibal Buress's show or being involved in any of these other big, like...
dude, that was like the WrestleMania for fucking great New York comedy.
Yeah, people fucking... It was a buzz in the air. People loved it. Everybody watched this fucking thing. And even the guys that wrote, there was a buzz about what they did and how they helped. And that's why I was a little bit annoyed with Mayu. And I told Mayu, because he went into YKWD and he was kind of saying all the jokes, everybody that he helped write for, and just kind of like calling people out for not using enough of his jokes. And he's not gaining any fans. I told him, I was like, Rob, you're a great comic, dude.
But they were busy using Zach shit. Sorry.
I was like, you're a fucking great comic. You write really funny stuff. Let people give you the accolades. Like, everyone is talking about what a great writer Zach is. Everybody, because everyone knows.
Yeah, Zach's not making it public.
He's not. He doesn't need to fucking pat himself on the back. He's waiting for everyone to do it.
He told me personally who he wrote for, and I was like, that's a lot.
Dude, some of those jokes, that the one Carla joke, the 212, 211, 12221, that's a brilliant. The joke goes, because she kind of butchered it, but she goes, one time I thought I found a phone number in Jay's wallet. The phone number was 212-211-12111. It wasn't a phone number. It was just the physical rankings of the last 10 girls that Jay cheated with me on. I mean, what a fucking great, brilliant fucking roast joke. That's amazing, okay? But Zach's not going out and going, yep, I wrote that one. I wrote that one. I wrote that one. You got to let people fucking give you the accolades for it. And this other guy, it's like, you know, like, obviously, it's not going to do anything crazy for you immediately. You put a little money in your pocket. You come out. You eat some fucking food. You hang out. You drink a little bit that night. But the truth of the matter is,
I think it's done a lot for Zach.
Dude, people are talking about Zach now, okay? If a Comedy Central roast comes about, okay, Comedy Central was there. There was five people from Comedy Central in the fucking crowd, okay? If a Comedy Central roast comes about and I know somebody writing on it, I am personally going to fucking say, Zach, whatever the packet is, whatever you need to do, I will make sure that I personally, if somebody else doesn't, make sure Zach's shit gets pushed through to these people so they can at least take a look at it. And that is, dude, when you're a part of this community and you decide that you're going to, you know, do something like this, obviously on the surface, like, it's not a ton of money. It's only a little bit of cash. But first of all, it's a lot of fun. You know, you get to exercise a muscle and then people like you and they want to do things for you. So with Rob's dumb because nobody's jumping at the chance now to help Rob do something like that. And Rob's great. Rob's actually a really good, but I won't take a roast joke from Rob ever in a million years. I would not do that because I'm not going to have him going and telling people that he fucking wrote my shit for me. Fuck that. You know, I'll work with Zach because me and Zach can sit down. We could write jokes for 2 hours and he's going to be a fucking pro. And that will turn into something for fucking both of us, hopefully. I'm not going to fucking have a sit there and a guy going like, oh, that guy, fucking, he's doing my shit. Well, all right, well, I won't do your shit. I don't need to do your shit, dude. I'd rather spend a little bit more time working on it myself than to fucking it's almost like counterproductive to helping somebody if you're going and telling people that you did that. Rob really handled that the wrong way. I hit him up on Facebook about it. I gave him shit. I was like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, you're not getting fans that way. The Legion of Skanks fans are going to hate you for doing something like that. That's crazy. And Rob didn't help me at all. And Rob said he helped Jay. He didn't help Jay at all. He didn't write any of Jay's jokes. Whatever. Much shitting on
me. Yeah, I just think, Zach really did it the proper way. And now, I guarantee you, Jesse Joyce is probably the head writer, one of the head writers for the roasts. He's on every roast.
Yeah.
Knows who the fuck you are.
I'm going to tell you, there's no doubt about it. When a Comedy Central roast comes about, I'm not shit. Okay. I'm not shit in this industry, but I promise you, I know some people that are shit. I will make sure that your shit will end up in somebody's hands. I promise you. And that's a fact. And it's not because I'm doing a favor, it's because you're talented and you deserve it and you handle yourself the right way. You know, so that's just a fact. All right, we're gonna get out of here in a minute. Anything else going on, boys? Anything else you want to plug, talk about?
If you're listening live, I'll be at Uncle Vinny's tonight and tomorrow night. Come out, hang out, down the shore.
Oh, Fleshlight just tweeted Luis J. Gomez at his finest via Brobio. See, Fleshlight loves me. Brobio loves me. Death and Taxes magazine. What's the other one that doesn't like me?
Barstool.
Barstool Sports. Not cool. We're in a war right now. What do you got going on, Zecco?
Come hang out every single Tuesday at Bar None. It's getting really good, man. We're starting to pack the place out a little. It's been fun getting good drop-ins, and fucking, that's the best.
I gotta start coming. I really do.
I did it like a month ago. It was good.
I did Scopo show last night. I bombed. My first show, was it my first show back? No, my second show back.
You actually killed. He calls me up. I'm on stage. So I like put him on the phone, and like I'm like, you guys want to hear Luis J. Gomez? He's gonna come down. One guy was like, yeah. And then Lewis did a fucking funny joke and got a huge laugh.
While I was on speakerphone.
That was the biggest laugh he got on the night.
Yeah. Came down on stage. Just fucking tired, just not into it. I have to write new jokes right now. I'm like done with every joke I have. I'm just done. I need to get into a writing mode right now. So that's what that was. I was trying a couple new things out. They didn't hit at all. And then I went into jokes that I've been doing for a while. I was just disengaged.
But you know what? You came down to the room. Instead of going above it, I do it all the time.
It was fucking one o'clock in the morning or whatever time. I just wasn't in the mood, but I just have to get up every night. So, all right, guys, do me a favor. Go to gomezcomedy.com. Check out my live dates coming up. I think I have to update it. I don't think I have anything on there. Hawaii got pushed back now. I'm not doing Halloween weekend in Hawaii.
What up?
It's going to be May. Just for the festival. They're not doing a preview, but we're doing it.
That would have been dope.
Yeah, I don't know what else is going on, guys. Gomez Comedy, Twitter. I'm fucking tired. I got to recover from this festival. It literally, every time I wake up in the morning, it feels like my body was hit with a truck. So we'll check you next week. Realist Podcast. Peace.
Peace.
That's all, folks.